and welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, May 27th, 2017. It's Season 11, Episode 20. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
It's been one of us hasn't done this in a while.
Yeah. I was waiting. I assumed I'd go at the end, but evidently not.
Yeah, we
pretending like I never left.
Yeah. And welcome to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can find us on Facebook, same place there as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. Also, just go to our website and go to the left. There's a little box there to have every single way you want to get in touch with us and how you can watch us live. We're streaming the cam right now on Twitch. Head over to twitch.tv. Search bar up at the top, type in in-game chat, and you'll be able to find us and join in the chat room live while we broadcast. Yeah.
Please clap.
Yeah, let me do that other way. There.
I'd have my Jeb moment.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. No, I need that.
Still need to get that clapper for you.
No, I've saved it. I need
little
to get
plastic
it.
Hands that like go back and forth? You go...
No.
The movie theater.
Time. Oh, like that kind of clapper.
Yeah. Something. So I can sync up the audio whenever I have to edit this video. Anyway, welcome to the show, and James is with us, who hasn't been with us in over a year, I think.
Over a year.
Yeah, it's been a while. So we're just going to give you the next hour to tell us what you've
been playing.
Yeah,
what have you been playing?
Actually, I don't even know that it would take him that long, because I...
Work?
Because you have no idea what I've been playing?
I have no idea what you've been playing, but I don't know how much time you've had to play things, honestly.
I don't know, as much as ever.
Yeah.
Really. I don't know. I mean, it's still a lot of work, you know, but...
Mainly
played,
coming in to
played,
talk to about Prey.
Prey.
Yeah, mainly coming in to talk about that. Prey. We finally finished that all up, with the exception of RJ, but I don't think RJ cares. he doesn't care at all. But we'd finally...
You have no interest in that?
No.
At all? Not anything of that style? Have you
no,
ever
just
played?
Not that game. I mean, I've seen videos of it and seen what people said about it, but it just didn't pique my interest, man.
Yeah, but I mean, have you played... Because I can't remember. Have you played any of... You've played Deus Ex?
No.
Okay.
I mean, same way about that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is it like the style of game? Is it immersive sims you don't really care
about? No, I mean, it's just any game I look at, no matter what the genre is, really, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't pique my interest looking at it, reading about it, I mean, chances are I'm not going to play it.
Yeah.
So I gave it a look, but just didn't feel like playing it.
Right. I just assumed that maybe immersive sims were like JRPGs.
Mm-mm.
You know, where you just flatly have decided that's a genre that you're.
I gave those a shot.
Yeah,
but and it really didn't suit me at all, so I just gave those.
That's
up.
Good. That's good. Yeah. You absolutely should not play it if you're not remotely interested in it, because an awful lot of people get dragged along by the hype because all the people who are enjoying something like Prey, you know, there's too much. Too much witnessing out there from people who really enjoy a special kind of game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this has been going on forever. But
yes.
But you'll find a lot of times that people who are supremely interested in whatever it is they're playing decide that they need to witness on behalf of that game to everybody in the world. And it's like, no, it's amazing. You should play it. And it's like, don't do that.
You need to take into account on whether they would like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or not.
There's a lot of people for whom immersive sims are a really, really bad fit. Like a very, very bad fit. And as much reading as I've done on the internet, different community forums, different threads about Prey, there's an awful lot of people who got hyped into it.
They probably shouldn't have been there.
Hated it.
Yeah.
And decided that. But they don't, very few of them can even look at the game and say, like this is not my style of game.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you don't like a game, the real truth is that it's crap. We all know that. If you personally don't like a game, the game is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it becomes about, is that this is a terrible game because...
I personally do not like it.
Because I don't like it.
The only hype I had was obviously just the release of it, knowing what it was and what it was attached or not attached to, obviously.
Right.
The IP, the name.
Yeah, because you played the first one, right?
Well, this is not
I mean, there's
played-ish.
No such thing as the first
there
one.
There really is
yeah.
no
first
such
one.
Yeah,
what?
There's no...
Yeah, there's no tie-in to the first original
no.
Praise.
No,
not at all. Not at all. But it had that sort of attachment to it, even though it wasn't attached whatsoever.
Because it kind of, in a way, felt like it almost like the other, like Doom or the Wolfenstein remake, you know, like...
Well, no,
kind of felt like it
that's
out
what
of
I'm
nowhere.
Saying. It was following the path that Bethesda follows with its... spring releases
yeah.
that it's been doing almost year after year now, where a game is shown at E3 and we look at it and think, meh. Mm-hmm. And yeah. then it flies under our radar for some reason or another. And then when it's released, we think,
oh, wait.
Yeah. You know, we get that way.
We're too busy looking at the Elder Scrolls and Fallout to see, like, the little gems that they're sprinkling
yeah,
in.
Yeah, but I mean, some of it's on us.
Yeah. Right?
Some of it's on, but too much of it, I think, the bulk of it really is on them. There's a difference between, like, making a highlight reel or a sizzle reel or something for a video game is a little bit different. It's always been different than doing it for a film. You can't just, video games don't edit well.
Yeah, you know because I mean? Everyone plays differently. Everybody has...
Right, well, first and foremost, they play.
Yeah, as know? Opposed to just experience. They just
instead of just watching. So you look at something... Well, you look at something like Prey, right? Which, even out of the gate, 5 minutes into the game, you've got moments you don't want to spoil.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And they didn't even... Like, we had no idea that was a thing until, what, 3 months ago? That it opened like that, and for everybody got their first look at the first hour of the game.
Yeah,
and
I didn't even watch that stuff.
I didn't either.
Did anybody here play the demo?
No,
I didn't.
I'm curious where they took the chunk for you to play that.
I think it's the beginning.
It was the beginning. Was it? Through? I think it was the same section that the press played.
Okay.
Up to about it was like 3 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know where it cut off. But like I said, I didn't play it. PC anyway, didn't get one, so
yeah, we're gonna get in. We're gonna get into Prey, and we're gonna mark it with spoiler talk because we all three finished it, and we're gonna run into that stuff. But as far as the stuff that we played that isn't Prey, I just this morning played the new game from House Marquee, the guys that did Resogun. I got into their beta for Nex Machina, is what it's called.
Okay.
Yes, which. I played like just a couple of levels of that this morning before I came in, and basically it is Resogun, but it is top down. It is top down person Resogun. So you're not flying a ship, you're moving a person. Yes.
Kind of like Commando back in the day or Ikari Warriors.
It's got a little bit of that isometric feel to it.
Okay.
The way you're looking at it, and it's still got the voxels going everywhere and exploding, and it's still bullet hell. But you're you know you're on foot and you're still doing twin stick with it.
Okay.
You got a dash. You got a dash just like you did in your ship, and you've got a big weapon just like you did on the other, you know, just like you did in the ship as well. And you still rescue humans. They're still green. It's very much like, let's just take what we did, put it on the ground, you know, and not do a circular mechanic, but a top-down isometric view mechanic.
I hear twin stick and on foot. I think about a Robotron.
Yeah,
is anything
of course.
Like that? Yeah. So basically that.
Yeah. I looked at the I got the email yesterday morning that I was in the beta, and I found a thread on Gaff talking about the beta, and they had like a thread set up, and they were showing all of these like Smash TV, Robotron, all these other things that were all twin sticks back in the day for arcade. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't even I didn't know what this game was going to be about. I had no idea. I just I'd seen a going through the articles that I do every day. It's like, hey, these betas it's available. Go sign up. So I went and signed up. I didn't know what it was, but I love Resogun, so let's see. And that's exactly what it is. Other than that, I played nothing else other than Prey. And Danger Zone comes out on Tuesday. We're just a few days away from that. So
So you'll play nothing but Danger Zone for a minute.
What's there to take away? As far as new, what's there to take away from my play? Is anything else going to be released, though? I wasn't sure what released this week. There were a few things.
Yeah.
But nothing high pro. I mean, Injustice 2 would be the last high profile release that we had, and that was not this past week, but the week before.
And I don't know if Friday the 13th is your cup of tea or not.
Not yet, from the threads that I've read, because there are some issues with
I've
that.
Heard, yeah,
currently.
There's clipping issues. There's
connectivity issues.
Yeah.
There's some chat issues.
A little wonky.
Yeah, it's not fully done just yet. It seems like everybody was bang it out
only
for them to do a release date, and they finally did.
Yeah, only one game plot, one game style. You know, they don't have different game modes yet.
so
I saw, I watched a couple of reviews about it.
What else? There was Rime came out, but I think that was just on consoles because I think it was already out on PC. There wasn't too many. I look at the releases when I'm grabbing music for each week's show, and sometimes it's very hard.
Yeah.
To get released because there's not much there to pull from. So, RJ, what about you? I know you didn't play Prey.
No, I didn't play. No, not at all. But I did more play Injustice, the new. Right? I played a little bit of that, but more I played some more of MLB The Show, going further along in my season. Also played some Guilty Gear Xrd Rev 2. The disc version came out this past Friday, so I was able to pick that up and give some time to it. So the newest version of the game, and get some practice time in there. Set up some things the way I like it. Start practicing a little bit here and there. Find out what all the changes are from the demo that was given out a few weeks ago to what we got now. And outside of that, I did play a lot of Injustice 2, practicing mostly, because we had a tournament at G2 South recently. That was a game that we were playing this past Thursday. I got a second place out of that one, but I feel like I could have done better because I was used to playing with the PlayStation 4 controller instead of the Xbox One controller, which I still to this day feel that it is the worst handheld controller for a fighting game in the history of existence.
Even the one? You haven't
felt
it's gotten any better over different revisions? Because I do think that even people who didn't play fighting games would have agreed with you that it was the 360, the basic 360 controller was really horrible.
The giant.
The original Xbox controller.
Yeah.
But any of them, because they had horrible D-pads just for ages and ages and ages. But my understanding is that that's improved a lot with the Xbox One base controller. The One S apparently is a really great controller. But,
Maybe it has improved. I'll give you that. But from what I felt that night, it was off. Everything was just off on that one. But, yeah, I just spent a little time practicing in there. I haven't streamed anything yet because I wanted to get the extra parts of story mode that I didn't get to go through the first run through.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done that yet. So I want to finish that off and get with the multiverse aspect of the game. That's the single player mode that has different elements to the story. It's just basically a single player mode that has different elements put in there, kind of like the towers in Mortal Kombat X.
Yeah.
Different situations that I put in, like this person may hit harder. This person has different gear put on.
Different factors or whatever, different combinations of
different
settings
like that. Things for your guild to go through, different tasks for you to perform.
Gotcha.
Like the factions in Mortal Kombat X, and I'll go back to that. So I had that mode to go through, and it seems to be a lot of different things that goes on through there. Apparently, it looks like they have various things that go on, like five or six planets you can go through, versions of Earth you can go through the missions there, and get all you can before the time runs out, because another set of planets will come in maybe a week, or maybe an hour, or maybe two. Maybe some will just pop up. You've got 30 minutes to do all these things to get these goals, because after that, it's gone.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of motivation to go in there and see what's what and go through all that.
Matt, what about you? Anything other than Prey? And Battlegrounds?
Then, no.
James, anything outside of, we're going to talk Prey, and I know you played a ton of stuff.
Yeah, as soon as I finished Prey, I still felt the need for some more immersive sim.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and bought, they were both super cheap on, one of the many places you can get them super cheap.
Right, yeah.
Picked up Dishonored 2, which I'd been holding off on because I didn't like what I'd heard about the performance on the PC version, and I'm not playing it on the console. So I picked that up, started it, and I loved Dishonored 1, which you still haven't played, have you?
No, I have, yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you
did. I went through and did a playthrough of that before Dishonored 2 because I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I went through and did all that.
Magnificent game.
Wonderful. Loved the level layout.
Yeah,
it's
great.
The way they built that city and everything that you could do,
The party that you have to crash, was one of my favorites.
Yeah, it was. I played through it, I think, three times. Mm. Did you play the DLC?
Oh God, did
the
I?
Two expansions.
I don't think I did.
The developers were very specific about wanting you to play that before the second game,
too.
Since the second game flows directly from.
I don't know if
the
I did or not.
Of,
I have to. I don't think I did.
They were great.
I don't think I did.
They were great. Possibly better than the base game, actually. And it's really not. There's two of them, but they're just part one and part two of the same story.
Yeah.
But anyway, I went back and picked up Dishonored 2, started that. Begrudgingly picked up Mankind Divided because it was super cheap, and I passed that up as well. Those were two games that I was sure that I would buy day one last year, but I didn't.
I did pick up Dishonored 2 day one because I wanted the mask and everything. I got the little special edition, little trinkets and things. I didn't pick up Deus Ex until there was some, it felt like a glitch, I don't know, but a bunch of us got in on it when Black Friday GameStop had it and the DLC for like $12.
Oh, wow.
Same with Hitman, same with Tomb Raider. It was all of those Squeenix titles
right.
jumped down to like $12 real quick, and it was only for maybe a couple hours that they were down for, and I picked up that and Hitman, all was, the episodes.
I was day one on... On
Deus Ex, yeah.
I
am pretty close to day one on Hitman.
Yeah, I didn't...
Which I wish I would have played like that, by the way.
I thought I would be, but yeah, me too.
Did actually. You? You I haven't really gotten to Hitman yet,
no,
have you?
No, I haven't. I missed out on the...
You need to. You can still do it.
Yeah, I know. It's not the same. It's not the same. And now I guess it's a coin toss as to whether we're actually going to get season two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I played all that. It picked up Overwatch because I found it super, super cheap. Just because I needed something, you know, a little lightweight game to play on my potato at work, you know, when I needed to do something. But what an exasperating bunch of people that community is.
Haven't touched it.
Yeah, played it a little bit. It's fine enough. And outside of that, played a lot of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah. Did you play anything during, like, the holiday – not the holiday season, but, like, you know, when everything gets released in October, November and stuff like that? Was there anything you jumped into?
I really didn't, actually. Okay. Don't recall at all what I was doing.
I can't even remember.
Doing that.
What I can't remember what I was excited for at that
time.
Yeah,
yeah. Because we had just passed through the fall release of Mankind Divided, which I wasn't happy about. Yeah. You know, everything I'd read about it.
Yeah, Mankind Divided was in August or September on that.
Like that.
Yeah.
And then,
I know what I was doing there that time. It was Destiny had updated. Yeah. You know, and I was like running through the Rise of Iron stuff. Mm. That's what I was doing. That's what was keeping me busy. So, hey, we're going to take a break here. It's not quite the usual time, but we're probably going to be just diving deep into Prey here. So we're going to take a break here, and then we come back. More of in-game chat, of course, every week. We got brand new music for you that you haven't heard before because we ran for like 3 years with the same music that you had. Here's music from Super Meat Boy, The Battle of Lil Slugger. Anyway, we'll be back with more in-game chat after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from Everspace, which just came out of Early Access, actually. I believe this week. Haven't played it. Haven't even looked at it. I just noticed that it came out of Early Access, and so I grabbed some music from it. That's just track 4. There's no name for it. Just track 4 from what I found. There's like there are, I think, maybe 5 tracks, and that is track 4. So... welcome back to the show. Let's jump to the phones real quick and talk to Nate. Thanks for holding, Nate. Sorry about that.
No problem. You guys were talking earlier about the evolution of controllers.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder your opinion on the evolution of gaming systems. You know, when I was a kid, we grew up in a 2D game world of Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong, Q-Bert, stuff like that. And then it all moved. You know, I think it was Doom first really introduced us to the 3D
Wolf 3D.
Gaming. Yeah. Do you see us going to virtual reality as only gaming within the next 10 years, or do you see it as kind of a flash in the pan, like action, like Wii and action play is?
Well, I think for virtual reality, that's something they keep on trying every couple of decades. Because I remember in the 90s when they first started doing that, and it was, you know, the technology I don't think was quite there with the you know, the polygons and the graphics and stuff like that, and they're trying it again, but I don't see it catching on the way I was, you know, hoping that it would. Some of the stuff that I've seen when I borrowed Scott's PSVR were impressive. You know, the Resident Evil 7, the one level in
that was something you checked out over the holidays. It was PSVR.
You came by my house with your little get-up there.
Yeah, and you messed around with the X-Wing and broke it.
I did, and you know what? I take immense amount of pride from
getting
that.
In the backseat?
I really wish you had streamed me doing it.
I wish you have.
Because I spent most of the time trying to break it, just like naturally, you know?
Yeah.
And Scott's just like laughing at me trying to do stuff like...
Yeah, getting back with like, Astromech and
yeah,
stuff.
Fine.
And, yeah,
fine. So I want to, you know... look up Mama Wayne's skirt or whatever it was I tried to do, right? And then wound up breaking the POV in the beginning of the Batman game.
Yeah.
I did play that. I actually enjoyed it a lot. Enjoyed it, just to speak to your question, way more than I thought I would.
Same here.
I think any comparison to the possible failure of VR as a gimmick is missing the point a little bit. I think they are. I think the games or the experiences are mostly there. I think there's a lot of stuff you can't do or wouldn't really prefer to do
in
VR.
Yeah.
I'm still a huge proponent of basically the cockpit style stuff, the turret style stuff. I wanna do everything from fly my spaceship, in Elite Dangerous or in a Star Wars game or something like that, all the way down to my American truck simulator stuff, you know, those sorts of things that's what I really want. I don't really need to go crawling around in the living room or something.
I would say that your answer is probably, I mean, to answer that question as far as within the next 10 years, I would say no.
Yeah.
Basically the support has to be there for it. The games have to be made for it.
It's the bigger.
Yeah. I would just think that they would use like a headset to replace the left stick so you can look around, but you are really controlling your motion and everything with the right stick.
I mean, it's certainly possible, but I can't imagine wanting to play everything that way.
When I was doing Resident Evil 7, it wasn't even quite like that.
Was that like a one-to-one thing?
No. You know, I'm trying to remember, like, you know, it moves in, the camera sort of moves left and right in, I forget, like, 45 degrees or so, but it's not quite to spin your head and you walk that direction, you know, like a left and right stick. There's probably some working out to do. I'm curious to see, like, I would like to see it go into some different genres that maybe you wouldn't, you know, necessarily like immediately think about. Like, imagine like Halo Wars with VR, where you're like the overworld general trying to, like, you know, go around.
That exists. I mean, that exists. I played that at PAX.
Isn't
where
there's something like that, right? That's strictly VR, and it's like a control board style.
Yeah, it's like a tabletop, almost tower defense like. Yeah.
Well, like how I wish that End War, Tom Clancy's End War, could have been.
Yeah. A little bit ahead of its time.
Yeah, definitely.
Look, here's what I think is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Cost.
Yes.
Form factor. Uh-huh. Those are your two issues. They are just always going to be more expensive.
Yeah.
And even if they could bring the cost down to where they package it into a console, which is exactly which I think is, you know, which is kind of like what you were asking, if it'll become such a thing where it's just sort of, it's like putting the light gun in your Nintendo machine back in the 80s or whatever, where they put a VR headset
for like one game.
Right, for one game.
For Duck Hen.
Like, even if they bring
what I'd like to see in a VR platform is the old Mike Tyson Punch-Out. I'd like to see that in a VR platform.
It exists.
I think that'd be
not
really cool.
Mike Tyson.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Not Mike Tyson, but it exists with there's a game for it's for PlayStation. It's indie developed. It's not a third party title, so it's got some issues with it, but it is a boxing game essentially. And you duck and dive and use the Move controllers to punch with, and that's exactly how it goes. But it's not on the level of what you played with even the Nintendo version of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Right.
But even if they bring the price down, even if they can put it into something affordable that everybody can buy, the fact that you wear this on your head, it goes to James's point about form factor. It gets hot in there.
Yeah.
You get eye strain a lot faster than you would doing anything else because the screen is so far, the screen is so close to your eyes. You have to be
cognizant of your environment way more.
Right, and
there's plenty of videos of people tripping in a face plant.
Yeah, tripping, smacking people, breaking stuff.
But outside of all of that, just the comfort of using it is another thing that they'll have to get over. Using it for long amounts of time. We sit here and we play video games for
hours and hours.
Doing that in VR,
headache.
Looks like it would bother me a lot if it was me just playing one of those games or even a multiple of those games without removing that first and taking breaks. Anyway, that's what I think. Right, well, 10 years, I don't know that it'll make it.
Thank you for entertaining my question.
No problem.
Not a problem at all. Thanks for calling.
They got some of the PSVRs in the BX, and I was like, okay, have they gone down price? Scanned it, and I'm like, nope, still 400.
Yeah. Still up there, yeah. I'm hoping we'll hear something, especially with the Battlefield 2 reveal for EA.
If they could do more than just one level.
I would really like to see more stuff with that VR.
It just needs the support.
That's what it needs.
Yeah. It was still good. A bunch of garbage on your head. It's still a.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good that they actually did a full game of Resident Evil.
I'm not saying there's a problem with it, and I would certainly enjoy a really, really well designed. Let's just set aside the cost and pretend that everybody's got the same amount of money that the richest guy on the game forum has, right? Who wants to pretend the cost isn't really that bad? Let's forget the fact that you have to have a base system that can actually push the VR. Set it all aside. The truth is that if you think about how you play, mm-hmm. right? Like really how you play, not some imagined, idealized version of how people play video games. Don't imagine yourself in a glossy magazine ad that's trying to sell you on the concept. What you really do is you slouch on the couch, like,
or on your bed,
spread out all over the place. And I've seen Scott do it. I've literally seen Scott just like sit on the couch. You got like the controller kind of behind.
I'm pulling McFly, but I'm just really just tired. So it's behind my head, and I'm like, whatever.
You're not exactly seeking to be active while you're playing.
What was I playing when I was doing that? Was that Zelda? What was I playing?
Half a dozen different things. I remember hanging out at your house, and we'd be playing something. And I was like, I'm just chilled out, laying back.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why I didn't like the Wii playing Zelda. Is like, I don't want to waggle my arm every time I fight something.
No, you don't. You don't. And anything that tries to tell you that this is the new floor, right, for where everything is going to be, it's just not true. It just simply isn't true. I like sitting at my desk at my computer. I don't really play console games very often. But at my desk, and I have my game on my center monitor, and then I have whatever, half a dozen things on this monitor. I got another monitor over here with whatever I want to see. I've got my Discord chat. I've got some thread or some forum open about the game that I'm actually playing or whatever, like a map or something. I've got a lot of things in my environment I want to interact with. I want to be able to type and communicate with other people.
So if you had a VR headset on, it blocks all that other stuff out.
I want to reach my glass of bourbon, you know?
You won't be doing that.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get that it is more immersive than a single screen, but for some games, I would love to sit in the cockpit of one of my ships in Eve or Elite rather.
But not every time.
Single time. Right, exactly. And I want it to be an occasional thing. Right.
Exactly.
The same way cookies are a sometimes food. VR gaming should be like a sometimes experience. And I don't like the idea. I don't like entertaining the idea that it is all headed that direction. Well, this is the new thing. So this is the direction it should all be funneled. I think that is misunderstanding the actual real world nature of how people interact with video games. Not to even mention what RJ says, which is that how are you going to improve a fighting game?
Yeah.
Not immersion is one thing, but honest-to-goodness improvement is something entirely different. I'm sure Counter-Strike would look cool in a VR headset. You would never win.
No.
So
That's not the type of game.
That's it. Yeah, it's a fun thing, a distraction.
You had a 3DS, correct?
Me?
Yeah.
I did not.
You didn't? All right. Scott did.
Yes.
Or 3DS?
Yeah. How many games did you play with a 3D turned on?
I'm not a handheld guy, man.
When he first got it,
we did all the gimmicks and we looked around.
Yeah, you looked at it. Then you turn the slider off.
Yeah, exactly.
When I got the Ocarina of Time, turn the slider on. Ooh, it looks really pretty. Let me turn it off.
I think it was the same with the 3D games that I played back when they were supporting that stuff. I would play Again, it goes back to James's point, is that it was just a sometimes thing. If I really wanted to see it, like, ooh, this looks really cool in 3D, I don't want to play this entire game in 3D.
No, I wouldn't.
I play, you know what? I'll tell you, the game I did play entirely in 3D was Killzone 2. I think it was Killzone 2.
Was it the second one?
Yeah, that's the one that had the train level.
That had the prettiest brown.
I know.
In it. Yeah. I remember, that's all I remember from that game.
I played the whole thing in 3D, and because that was, I was going to use that as part of the review because I had the ability to do it, and I wanted to be able to have something to say on that.
Yeah.
Since I wasn't seeing anybody else talking about it, because 3D was not too it wasn't as common like 4K is now. Whenever you go and buy a new TV, you're pretty much buying a 4K TV. And so I had that, and it was horrible to play entirely in 3D. It hurt. It hurt. I had to stop and you know, because we sit there for, it's one thing to watch a movie. It's 2.5 hours long, max, mostly. That's fine. Game sessions are not 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Game sessions are much longer than that, and you're also really, really focused on what you're seeing. When you're watching a movie, it's a big screen. You got a lot of things up going on, and that's fine. You're not looking for a headshot from way down the screen and having to like really place that shot and stuff like that. So it was kind of tough to do. And so it was a 3D was a sometimes thing,
yeah.
And VR I think is a sometimes thing. I think VR is a come over. I've got that game. Let's play it in VR. Let's check that out. You know, if it's specifically for VR, you'll notice that a lot of the games that are specifically for VR are not long games. Resident Evil 7 wasn't just specifically for VR. You could play it either way. But Batman Arkham, whatever that is. What was it? Arkham, the VR. The Batman VR game.
Yeah.
Short game.
Some training missions or something, right?
It's a short game. You don't want to make that thing.
Yeah. And you could even argue that it even overstayed its welcome a little bit.
Especially if you go back and play through for the Riddler stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're doing the and that's the thing. It was a gas. Like you and me playing it.
Uh-huh. Even with that,
and, like,
you're not
working,
you know,
our way through everything and like
yeah.
it's a huge moment that you can't get in any other way. But and this could be an age and an experience thing. I've been playing in front of screens and playing my way for a very, very long time, and it works for me, and I like it very much. But yes, it's fun ducking down underneath the cabling and the thing and like trying to figure out like where to throw the batarang to get the thing, and like we had a lot of fun with it. Super great with groups. I think I'd actually just be sort of bored out of my mind if I was doing it by myself.
Yeah.
But around people that you trust.
Exactly.
It's a swell time.
It is.
But beyond that, yeah, it's a sometimes thing. And now we talk about the cost for a sometimes thing.
Yeah.
And I just have to think, if I make a list, which I do, like every good computer person has a list of stuff that they want at all times, and it is so far down.
Yeah.
May as well not even be there.
Because there's so much more priority ahead of like the sometimes thing. Here's my every time graphics card. Here's my every time processor. Here's my every time extra memory.
Yeah.
Here's
a new mouse and a keyboard.
Yep.
You know, if you want to get something a little bit better.
Solid state drive.
If you've got like one of those weird mechanical keyboard fetishes that are really hard to shake once you develop them.
Yeah.
Better monitors. Always, always better monitors.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I know that. I know that itch.
Those are not anything even. I mean, those make VR look cheap.
Yeah, I know. Oh God, did I?
With the new Predator.
I linked you to that one, didn't I? Yeah.
It's like $1,200.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But it's gorgeous.
I mean, it's 144 hertz. It's G-Sync. It's ultra wide. It's it's $1,200 worth of monitor. So, but then much like VR, that requires a system to be able to use it, and on and on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, VR got nothing against it. It certainly showed better than I thought it would, particularly the PSVR. I thought that was going to be just a chintzy.
Did you do
like,
the
also ran?
Did you do the Resident Evil?
Nah.
See, I wouldn't mind watching you doing that. You know, see what you think. You know, because you didn't play the demo.
You're not welcome to watch me do this stuff. You'd have too much. Now you wouldn't be able to resist it. And no, you wouldn't be able to resist.
No, we spent a lot of time, when he was playing that, he spent a lot of time trying to break the Star Wars thing, and then he actually played the Star Wars thing, and then we got in the Batman suit, spent a lot of time there, and then after that, we really just didn't, we didn't move on.
But, I mean, we spent a lot of time playing this.
Oh, a ton of time,
it was
really
good. It was fun. I can see that being a couple times a year thing.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But beyond that, you know, I know what I want to do when I want to go home.
And it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how much time Sony gives it at E3, if they give it any of it to it.
Yeah.
Or if it's not just, here's this new game coming out for our system. By the way, it's got a separate little VR mode that you can download when you, you know, whatever the case. So something that is very short, that is very, you know, not essential to the to the playing of
it. It's a nice value add for people that do own the PSVR, but it isn't going to lock out non-VR people from enjoying it.
Exactly, yeah. We don't have enough time to start our Prey discussion now, so I was going to hit some of the things. Now, you were in the chat room with us last week talking about Destiny 2.
Yeah, man. Oh, my God. I'm so weird about that game. I feel so weird. Destiny just does the weirdest stuff to me, man.
Yeah.
It's so... Because you know how I felt about the first one, you know?
Especially pre-Taken King?
Pre-Taken King. I mean, I played it. I bought it at launch, and it was like a complicated relationship, and I think that was true for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It was obviously underdeveloped. It was obviously retread two or three times, and they've admitted it, and we know it. We've litigated everything about the first game. There's no point in going over and over it again. And I mean, I guess anybody that would really know me knows that, like, I have no platform preferences. I just do whatever I want to do the most.
Yeah.
I enjoy PC gaming almost entirely. The only time I play on a console is when I don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't hate them. I just
think, you go where the games are.
I go where I can get what I want. And I love everything there is about PC gaming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a snob about it, but
I mean, you've been doing that the longest, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I've been PC gamer since 95. So,
for me, it's been like, I'd 80s. I mean, like,
yeah, I didn't have one.
A computer, playing computer games before I even had a console.
Yeah.
I mean, because I didn't even have an NES growing up. I always go to the friend's house.
Yeah,
but we had the Apple IIc and the 2GS.
Mine was Commodore 64.
You know, my first console was a Super NES.
Yeah.
Wow.
In college. I bought for Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things.
I mean, regardless, like, 20 years or 30 years, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. But, you know, I've been on a computer the vast majority of my life.
Right.
And that's just, it's home. You know,
That's how it feels. No, that's how it feels to me.
Yeah.
Sitting in front of my, I've never been able to identify with the complaints that other people have about, years ago when I was on the show and this piece of whatever, this element of the discussion started developing of the comfy couch experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're at a desk, you're like, the guy working in Scrooge's office, like, bent over a single piece of coal and scribbling it. They try to make it sound like Bob Cratchit, right? Hunched over a desk, pushed into a corner, sitting on a rickety stool. Like, who are you? Like, what are you doing? Of course you have a terrible experience if you're having a terrible experience. Yeah. But to me, sitting at my PC is home. I feel like what's his name in The Matrix, the first one. He sits down and he like into his chair and there's like the 90 monitors around him.
Tank?
Whichever one of the brothers, you know?
Yeah.
And he puts his headset on and he's totally plugged into his environment. And like you can tell, that's when he's most at home. Sitting on a couch with a plastic like little thing in my hand.
I remember
that's not for me. That's not what I want. It's not my style of game, but I got over those
computer chairs, the ones that don't have the back and just the weird.
Yeah, yeah.
You're sort of like kneeling in an altar in a way.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was, but I mean that's how I played Space Quest all the way through.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
Anyway, as that relates to Destiny.
Yeah.
My point was like that was something I was able to get over. Terrible FOV, horrible image quality. I could never ever get with the controller scheme because I do not like first-person shooters on a controller. Ridiculous load times to do anything in the world. Super simple mechanics that, from my point of view, as compared to other games I played. But regardless, I had so much fun with it. It was such a ridiculously good time playing with people. All of the PvE stuff that we did, all everything, and I'm not just talking about the highest of the high, right? I'm not talking about just the raids. I'm talking about the loot cave.
Yeah, no.
The loot cave was ridiculously fun.
When's the last time that I had that I sent you a message or chatted with you over the phone or something? We were both at work. You know, how far did you get last night?
Yeah.
Where'd you go? You know, what are you doing? What level are you at?
I was just, it's so good, and I haven't felt that drawn into something.
Are you good for running this when we get off work? Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I loved that. And
I miss that. I kind of missed that. I missed out on that because I was gone when it first came out.
Yeah.
And by the time it came, you know, you're like, no, hold off until, you know, when they patch it to, you know, the 2.0 or whatever.
Right.
You know, instead of vanilla game. So I missed out on the loot cave. I'd hear you guys talking about it.
It
and
was
just like,
so ridiculous.
Yeah, you just sit there and like, bang, 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 and like you collect it. And then, you know.
Yeah, but you sit there and you're on chat with your friends.
Yeah.
And you're talking about TV and movies and,
yeah.
and some stupid stuff. And you just. What, you know, like every 60 seconds you go up there and you clear your stuff and do, and it was not, I know it sounds tedious, I know it seemed ridiculous at the time, I didn't care. I loved it. There was something very community, very cooperative, very friend-oriented about that game. And it was super fulfilling, even while I could recognize that it was broken and underdeveloped and lacking in a lot of important ways. So... the very fact that there's a 2 is a big deal to me. I haven't wanted to go back to Destiny 1. I don't want to clear the same raids for like another 1,000 times or something. I don't want to do any of that. I want to see them do something new. I'm sure you've talked about this already, but during that reveal that morning, I think you and I were the only two people in our immediate group watching it.
Yeah.
And we couldn't say anything good about it. We thought that the whole reveal, we were knocking it the entire time. But instantaneously, I just really needed it.
Yeah.
You know, I needed it.
We were waiting them to say the word matchmaking, which they never did. And now I'm waiting for them to say the word cross-save.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which they haven't done.
I mean, or more to the point, I'm waiting for them to say, here's the date of the PC release.
PC release, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they may have got me. And I know this ahead of time. If the PC release isn't day and date, I have to pick it up on the PS4. I have to. I can't not play it. I know everybody else will do it, and I can't be left out.
See, to me, where's the community going to be more of, like, my friends, where they're going to be playing?
Well,
I get the feeling like it's going to be
tough,
split,
man.
You know?
Yeah, that's why Scott's talking about the cross-save. If there is legitimate character cross-saving, then it kind of doesn't matter.
You get it for one while you're waiting for the other.
Yeah, and if that's a fact, then the world is pretty good in the world of Destiny. If it's not, then it gets really complicated.
It's
very
complicated, yeah.
I mean, I like you guys a lot, and I know that it was a really community-oriented thing. If there's a way to play it as a proper FPS, right, with adjustable FOV, with high frame rates, with all of the bells and whistles and all of the typical and usual things that a PC game has in it to make it a better experience, I'm doing that. I'm sorry, I'm not playing what I played again on the console if I have the option.
Why limit yourself?
I just don't want to do it. Knowing that I would have an option to play it somewhere much better would really upset me. So I think I'll be split, unfortunately.
Do you think there's a certain window where they need to put that PC release out before it becomes, before they miss their mark?
Yeah.
Before they've lost everybody who might have picked it up on PC or not, maybe not everybody, but the people who could go both ways.
Yeah.
There's a window where you can have them at PC, but there's a certain amount of time you've got to release that thing before you've lost them to the console.
It's basically people who know they want to play it. People like me.
Exactly.
To some extent.
What is that window for you? For you.
What's the double dip window? And then what's the forget about it window?
Right, because we put in what, a month? Destiny vanilla.
Vanilla Destiny, yeah.
We put in maybe a month and a half. at that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like anything outside of 1 month, assuming there's no cross save or anything like that, which actually would not be fair if you could just go ahead and direct import your... Like, let's say the console version comes out on the 8th of September. The PC version comes out at some indeterminate date later.
And you can bring your character over?
Yeah,
and
fully booked. Just... Nah. Doesn't make sense. It's not fair to all of the other people that didn't double dip. I that wouldn't be right. So at what point would I be willing to make the climb all over again? I don't know. Anything out past a month seems really difficult.
Because
out past the month...
But anything out past a month seems ridiculous for them to even... push it back that far. I mean, like, whoa, it seems like they would know that that's not where they want to aim for that. It's got to be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks is really cutting it close. Yeah. 4 weeks is, guys, we got to figure that out better because we can't do that.
Yeah. I'm still holding out hope that this isn't simply about delaying the PC version arbitrarily. Because they've made some comments about wanting to launch worldwide. And... The nature of negotiating a worldwide release on the PC, particularly given the fact that they're going through the Blizzard app, which is itself is kind of strange. I'm entirely behind it, by the way. I just didn't know
that they had a partnership with Blizzard like that.
Nobody has to this point. I mean, except it being Activision.
Yeah.
Blizzard and Activision are sort of close, you may have heard. But the fact that they would name it, the fact that they would change it from Battle.net to the Blizzard app about 5 minutes before the first third-party non-Blizzard game is to be added to it is a little strange. Because that's the only thing you can get on it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, is Blizzard stuff. But having said that, I think that the community features on that launcher and game manager are really good. So I have no doubt that there would be a lot of people that you could find and that the matchmaking for what it's worth would be pretty good. I don't know. All I'm saying is it's going to be really hard for an awful lot of people not to want to go to the PC version whenever it comes out. I just hope that isn't more than a couple weeks.
Yeah, I know. And hopefully we'll know. I mean, I don't know when we're gonna know
this. I'll get in it. I really will.
They've got to have that date nailed down, I would think, by E3. They would have to have that date nailed down, I would think, probably before the beta. And I feel like the beta is gonna launch. I would love for it if it's one of those things. Beta's going live this Friday when they announce it at E3 or whatever.
Like they did last time.
By the way, who gets the E3 presentation on this? They haven't talked about the Scorpio aspects of this on the Microsoft side.
Mm-hmm.
So who gets to reveal more of Destiny 2? Microsoft or Sony? Sony is getting the like month advance of exclusive stuff, so maybe it's Sony who gets to do that presentation. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who gets that extra thing of showing off their game. Sony has Call of Duty as well, so they have that with Activision. They had the Battlefield stuff with EA back when it was releasing, so I don't know. I don't know who gets it. Before we take this break, let's go to the phones, talk to Chris real quick. Hey, Chris.
How y'all doing today?
Good. Hey. How are you?
Pretty good. Me and my buddies talking about Blizzard. We got back hooked on playing Diablo 3 on PlayStation again.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had a little funny story. Of course, I've got the little cheap earpiece for a headset that came with the system, and my buddy was hearing something in the background while we were chatting when we were playing. And he said, "What's that in the background?" And I said, "Was it somebody talking?" Yeah. Oh, that's one of the little things that I picked up, you know, where in the game where somebody's telling the background of what was going on in the story. And he said, "Well, I just can't stand to see people out there that don't use Turtle Beach headsets and everything." I said, "Well, it shouldn't be a problem. You can't see me not wearing them, can you?"
Right.
And then he kept going on and on and said, "Well, I can put them on, but it ain't going to do any good. I don't have them hooked up." But I kept trolling him a little bit, but we all had a good laugh about that.
Diablo 3, where are you at in that?
I've beat the whole game and everything.
So, I mean, like, what level? Like, doesn't that increase? Like, don't you keep replaying at a...
Yeah,
New Game Plus
the main character levels go up to 70, but the Paragon levels is what takes it even further. I'm at Paragon 240, which is, you know, pretty good. I can survive by myself on what was the set?
Nightmare?
No, Nightmare. They have like they have, you know, hard, expert, and master, and then they have torment. You know, from there on, you know, torment so many levels, but it goes all the way up to torment 13. But I can survive pretty easily on torment 8.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, they keep multiplying the experience and gold and making the enemies a lot harder to kill and everything. But I think the most damage I've ever seen so far on my bounty demon hunter was like around 200 or 300 million that popped up on the screen. But I'm sure there's other people out there that played a lot longer that, you know, see a lot other higher damage pop up on their screen and stuff. But yeah, it's always been fun to play that one.
Well, glad you're back in it, and thanks for calling again. Anything else?
Not much. Just taking it easy.
All right, man.
Cool.
Well, we appreciate you calling in. We're going to run to a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about Prey. Thanks for calling.
All right, y'all have a good one.
You take care.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah, when we come back, we are going to talk about Prey. We are going to get spoilery into this discussion of Prey, so just giving you a heads up on that for anybody who is not finished or is playing the game or is curious about the game. We are going to have a lot of spoilers. Here is, as we go into this break, we got music from a game that came out called Rime. Looks like it's a puzzler of some kind. I'm not exactly sure. It looks kind of like something I'd be interested in, actually.
R-I-M-E.
Yes, nice. Rime. R-I-M-E. It is Alone in the Light is the name of this track. We'll be right back with more in-game chat after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with Matt, RJ, and James, joining us for this episode to talk about Prey. When I'm trying to find music sometimes, I'm like, what can I get? What can I get? And I go to my friends list on Steam to see what people are playing, which is why I got Battlegrounds, because James was playing that whenever I checked this morning. And Drew, Track Zero, was playing Fallout Shelter, which is where this comes from. Music from Fallout Shelter.
Battlegrounds has music?
Hmm?
Does Battlegrounds have music?
I looked up.
It was like the first thing I did was like.
Yeah.
Main menu theme, basically, is what I have. It's got some piano or something in it. I don't know.
Okay. Interesting.
It's got people swaying in time.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
That's. I looked it up to see if it did. It doesn't have much as far as soundtrack. And apparently that soundtrack has changed because. Whoever uploaded the main theme music from March is different from the main theme music from April.
It's early access for you.
Exactly. It changes. All right, so big warning here. Spoiler talk for Prey.
So about that ending.
Just jumping right in. Spoiler talk for Prey right now. We are going to ruin all the endings. We're going to ruin a lot of story aspects for you and stuff like that. So just letting you know ahead of time. We've all finished it. Mm-hmm. I just finished it last night. I probably got, out of all of you, I probably got the worst possible ending that you can get.
Well, you did that intentionally.
I did it intentionally.
Because
because it's not about bad or good, necessarily. Yeah. We should state that this is, a lot of games like this infamously have endings that come down to the press of a button. Which button would you like to press? Do you want the good ending? Press this button. Do you want the bad ending? Press
this
button.
I mean, Deus Ex was
like a
terrible...
Do you want the blue ending or the green ending or the red ending? You know?
And a lot of them aren't based... In the way that Prey did it, most of them don't care about that.
That's exactly right. It's still technically the game ends on a button press or is... Essentially comes down to a button press, kind of, sort of.
Yeah. I did not get
the ending.
Yeah, I didn't get the choices at the end.
The ending, such as it is, the conclusion of the game, is all about what you've done up to that point.
Yeah.
It is effectively just a judgment
of your playstyle.
Of your playstyle, which I liked very much.
I went through and I did 100% human.
And you and I were both
and
you and I
Paragon,
were both,
just saving
you and I
everybody
were both
I could.
High empathy.
Yes.
Which honestly, if I were playing my usual way, I'd have played exactly like you guys did.
Yeah.
And I specifically knew that since you guys were going that way, I said, let me go the wrong way and see what happens here. Yeah. I know that we can all watch the endings and see what everybody does, but me going back and watching the alternative endings, I was like, wow, that's so much better than what I got.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My ending, because I was, I'll tell you the way I decided to go, was that I put as many alien mods in me as I could.
Right, which don't even get access to, by the way, until about a third of the way through the game.
Right, yeah. I put as many alien mods into me as I could, which I don't necessarily know that affects your outcome. I don't think it does.
It does. Yes, it does.
Oh, does it?
There
okay.
is mention made of...
There is mention made, but I still think you get it. I still think... You can
still tweak it to where it's not quite as bad.
You can help those other people.
Yes.
Well, but again, the ending not even being a this thing or that thing, the ending is simply a judgment on how you played.
Mm-hmm.
The ending is fully aware of whether or not you do it. As a matter of fact, if you go pure human, given... Well, let's just go ahead and lay it out there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not actually Morgan Yu.
No.
Right.
Which a lot of people picked up on. There were tons of clues in the game. There's actually three or four things in the game that literally ruin it for you if you're paying any attention at all. Like Alex's escape pod key, right? The option to use his escape pod key, which I'm assuming you did do.
I did.
Yeah. Long before the end of the game.
I did it, yeah.
You get access to his escape pod.
If you go right there.
And you go to it, and it's very funny that all of the characters who talk to you throughout the course of the game start calling you up and they're badgering you about basically being a quitter. Like, is this who you really want to be? Are you sure this is who you are? Is this like,
yeah,
this can't be who you are.
Alex
are you
calls,
sure this
yeah,
is
he calls
it?
You out on it.
Yeah. Alex calls you out on it. January calls you out on
Alex
it.
Alex actually says out of all the,
choices.
Right. But like one, yeah. And then once you go through with it, it's basically game over and you just hear a voiceover of Alex saying,
This isn't the one.
Start again.
Start again. You're not Morgan Yu. You're a Typhon.
Mm-hmm.
You are.
They implanted his memories into you.
Right. You are an effort to bridge a communications, an empathy gap between the Typhon, whatever they are,
and the coral,
and the humanity. And because essentially the game ends with a statement that. We tried to understand the Typhon by putting them
into
us. We made the choice that the one thing we had, we came to the realization the one thing we hadn't done
was put us into them.
In you.
Yeah.
And so the entire thing is Morgan Yu's memory inside of a sentient, cognizant Typhon.
Alien. Yeah.
Alien. And there you are at the very, very end of the game looking down at your own self, you know. And you're not Morgan Yu. You're a Typhon. And they're judging you for your performance. Are you the one?
Yeah. And
is this the one that is finally going to be our ambassador?
And mine was a horrible performance for them to judge. I put all the elite mods in. I killed every human being that I could come along until once they were not on my objective list that I could do anything for them. They were dead to me.
Useless.
Yeah. In fact, the moment that Alex. The moment in that scene after you meet with Alex and you lose gravity, he goes unconscious.
Yes.
And the objective to even save him had not popped up yet before I had popped a, you know, I had blown his head off. And then it, like, popped up a red and said, well, you're not saving Alex.
Yeah.
And, of course, I got the achievement.
But you got the achievement for Push the Fat Guy.
Push the Fat Guy, yeah. So he was not there at the end when I decided to use the Null Wave device, which is what I was going to do, because I was trying to think in this guy, this is a selfish character that I'm playing. This is a guy who loves this power that he has and sees everybody who doesn't have that power, or even who does, as a threat to him, because it felt like everybody wanted to get rid of this alien presence and wanted to keep it from getting to Earth. And I was like, well, it's a part of me now, and I don't want to die, so you are the option for me to live is for you to die. And so that's how I played it. And so I thought, well, the Null Wave device will get rid of everything, which will probably include me, but so will the self-destruct of the ship will probably get rid of me as well. I wasn't exactly sure how that was going to go, but I did find one of the chipsets. There was a chipset that would protect you from the Null Wave.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so I installed that on my guy because I thought, okay, this is perfect for somebody like me. It'll make me unique and I'll be the only one with this power. It'll get rid of everything else. Mm. This is how I'm going to play it. Found the Null Wave protection, got the Null Wave device, shot January, and then set everything off. So I come up and I'm at the end of the thing and they're all like, this guy's horrible. It was a mistake to introduce all this other stuff. He didn't even say there were problems when we introduced the, I guess the alien mods or whatever it was. He called it the mirror something.
Mirror neurons.
The mirror neurons, yeah. So that was, there were problems with, no. They said outright it was a mistake to introduce that. I barely heard from any of the others in there. About what I had done.
How many were in there, by the way? Since you killed everyone, how many were in there?
There were 4 bots in Alex.
Okay. Interesting that they're all there. I wasn't sure if they were simply there because you saved them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Igwe, for example.
Right.
Could die. All of them, actually.
Yeah.
The chief, Eleazar, and...
None of them spoke.
What was the other bot?
None of them spoke at all.
The girlfriend...
Oh, yeah.
The Russian girl.
Yeah.
None of them spoke. The one bot that says that introducing the mirror neurons was a mistake, he showed no sympathy or concern for anything, and Alex says it's almost like he didn't care what the outcome was. And then, without even turning my chair around, without even giving me the option of kill him or shake his hand, it's just, this is a mistake, let's start over. That was it.
Oh,
I didn't even get that choice.
You didn't
even
get the final realization of what was going on.
Nope.
Because they have to turn your chair around.
They didn't do that with me. They just said, like, "No, this is a mistake outright."
They give you the Morpheus, you know.
Yeah, no.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
No, I didn't.
It was Earth all along.
Which was actually a really enticing concept, you know. And it leaves you to wonder exactly, like, what's gone on. Are these people represented in bots dead or alive? You realize, of course, the entire time you've been in an experiment. You've been running through a simulation, but you've been doing it with the implanted memories and motivations of Morgan Yu.
Mm-hmm. All right, my question about that, is Morgan even alive? Is Morgan?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't.
Yeah.
Was Morgan ever real? Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, there's the simulation, which was what you did, but then there's the direct implanting of Morgan's memories, which is what you remember. That. It's not just it's a combination of the two, I think the game makes very clear. Alex said, like, we put all of this stuff in you to see if it would take, and then with those memories, we allowed you to run through the simulation based on those memories. So you're sitting in the chair, you're running through a simulation, but what was Morgan, whether he's alive and this is a copy, or whether he's dead and this is all they have left, that's what's in you. Morgan is a real thing. I believe clearly that Morgan is a real thing. I mean, it may turn out that he's not, but I thought that the game left plenty open for Morgan to have been real. And that's just what they used. I think he's probably dead. Otherwise Alex wouldn't have done this, and that those events are real, which is why it was useful to use it as the baseline for a test against how a Typhon would respond. But I found the notion that, yes, all of this stuff on Talos One did happen, and it didn't help. Like, what you see on Earth now, a completely infected, a coral-infested Earth, is a reality. I'm assuming you've looked up the videos. Where they turn the chair around.
Oh, yeah, no. I've watched all the different endings.
I thought that was...
The shuttle ending, the turn the chair around ending, the shake his hand, the kill everybody. I've seen all those endings, yes.
I like the idea, and I can certainly see a future for some kind of sequel or DLC out of this. There's 100 different directions you could go.
It's also Arkane that we talk about that. It's Arkane Studios who did the Dishonored franchise and did some damn fine DLC for Dishonored. So I would love that, you know, something is released for DLC for this. I haven't heard anything, but E3's around the corner. So
yeah. But it was really very good. To know that how you played is how you were judged.
Right. It didn't come down to your button press. It doesn't come down to that. Even though it does.
They'll remark on it. They'll be like, it's interesting that he chose like
this
instead of the other thing.
Oh, he went back and got the music when he didn't even have to.
Yeah, he didn't even have to like get the music.
Or
for me.
You know, when I told the girlfriend about what happened to her pops,
she said it was interesting that he chose to do that, even though he knew there would be repercussions. About the only thing that I didn't do properly was I killed too many people inadvertently. The ones that were mind control. It didn't occur to me until it was too late that they were actually savable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But by that point, I had killed too many of us. So I could never get the achievement or the recognition. But they even make a point of that because the only people I killed were the mind controlled ones. And so the bot that makes mention of it says, well, it's a shame. You know, I think it was, I can't remember which one it was.
I don't think, was it?
Show, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was Show's character. But she suggested that it was probably unavoidable anyway, you know. So it really felt like it made some understanding of who you were trying to be when you played.
I did find all the people to get the achievement.
I did not. I hit a bug. I couldn't get a few.
Some of the people were off station.
Yes.
Lockwood was the guy I couldn't find.
Did you never find him?
He's not the only one I didn't find.
Yeah.
There were others that I didn't find because he was specifically a optional objective.
Yeah.
Not just a crew member. But there were probably plenty that I didn't find. Obviously there was a point I was behind in this, but there was a point where I knew we were doing the show. I wasn't trying to speed through to the ending, but I was willing to forego like treasure maps, which I found a lot of, but I just didn't find their treasure locations. The drop points.
I found I was
that's
missing
the only
two.
Side thing I didn't do.
Yeah,
I found four of the six.
I made the mistake, and I tried to point this out to other people. That game is so much better if you approach side missions as a priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're still not going to be able to complete every one of them that you have until you move on in the main story. But you basically should always prioritize them because almost all of them give you rewards that are super useful for the game as a whole.
Before it, you know.
Like the D&D thing. The Dungeons & Dragons-esque thing. If you get that item, it helps you hugely. It helps your
Fortress
movement speed, your flashlight.
Fortress... What was the name of that?
I don't remember, actually.
Something.
It was a super tedious side quest.
Yes,
too.
It was.
It was maybe a bit too much, but good reward there. The golden gun, really good reward. The pistol.
That I got, yeah.
The drops obviously had a lot of interesting
stuff.
What did
the super fruit do? And I never ate it. I forgot.
Oh, like it was a huge amount of health.
Oh, okay.
And I think it had a much longer well-fed bonus.
Okay.
Which would allow your health to come back naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did almost everything that I could. I did all of that stuff. I saved Dahl,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he came to kill me, and then I tore all his memories out of his head.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up and he's like, escape. What's going on? And we're like, no time to explain. Get in the shuttle.
Okay.
And we escaped.
By the way, I had read other people's playthrough that when the, I don't know if that's the third act, but when he introduces himself into the story and, you know, the military bots are all over the place. I had read where people had a lot of frustration during that part.
There was much frustration.
Not for me. Because I could control robots with my mind.
Yeah. Well, this actually brings up a really good point, and it's really fun to talk to other people. This is one of those games, I think, that is at its best when you're talking to as many other people who have played it as possible. The game's strength isn't in its story, although I think it had a good story. It's not in its combat, although I personally thought that going full human with like full mobility, full stealth, maximizing my weapons. Tons of people I read complaints from, people that were even playing on like easy or normal, mm-hmm. would get about to the Arboretum, which is give or take a little bit, roughly the halfway point.
Yeah.
And they're having huge amounts of trouble with it. They're getting
when the nightmares come.
Yeah, and like everybody's like really having trouble. And like, man, by the middle of the game, I played on hard, I didn't play on nightmare. But by the middle of the game, I was flying around at full speed with the mega high jump, and I was just bouncing off walls, shotgunning everything. It's not deep combat, but it was really satisfying. I thought that was pretty good. I wouldn't mind having played through with the Typhon powers, but you know, it's a whole other playthrough.
Yeah, it is.
So I don't know, but that's not what it was about either. It's not about the combat. It's not about the story. It's about the systems, mm-hmm. right? Immersive sims are about game systems and giving you opportunities to come up with a dozen different ways of approaching an objective. The morgue, for example, we talked about the morgue, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you get in the morgue? There's no key card for it, and it's not a hackable panel, but you have to get in there. What do you do? If you've got Typhon powers, you can
cup yourself.
Well, you can turn into a cup
and roll.
Or yeah, like a lot of people talked about how they had the mimic ability. They would carry, you can mimic something. You can't, like, possess it. It's not like Dishonored where you can, like, possess a fish or a rat or something. But you could mimic any particular item. So there's a bunch of guys. And then you can move around as it. So there are guys who would keep, like, a lemon in their inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would just, like, throw the lemon on the ground, mimic it, and then, like, do whatever they had to do and then go back and pick up their lemon. So they'd always have something available. Or you could use the telekinetic power.
Yeah.
And you could like break a window and like, you know, force pull the key card.
I did a few of those.
If you hack the panel, the control panel that was at the end of the hallway next to the morgue, there was an email from someone who was complaining about not having a key card access to it. And they were told like, look, the one of the science robots lets itself into the morgue every 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
right? And the clocks in the game, by the way, run in real time.
Yes, they do.
The clocks in Prey have their own, like, they run in absolute real time. So you could wait till it was a half hour, and the little robot would come along and let itself in the lab, and you could go in behind it. Or you could break the window and use your Nerf gun to shoot the button
that opens the door. Yep.
Like that right there, extrapolated out to a whole game, is really what Prey was about. Different ways to go about solving problems that aren't obvious.
Sounds a lot like Dishonored when they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you could control robots, right? And a lot of people were really upset that all of the operator machines just kept replicating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I just don't know what to do. I blow it up and then another one shows up. It's like, well, you could hack them. And then they're on your side.
Yep.
You could. What I did is I would like stun them and then break them, but not destroy them. That way they're still operational. They'll actually sit there and like scream for help, but they're broken and they can't do anything. You could, if you had leverage, you know, the ability to pick up heavy objects, you could stack boxes in front of the operator dispensing units, and they like it wouldn't make them. The operator dispenser would sit there and complain about the whatever the dispenser being blocked.
There's an obstruction that easily removed, or something. Yeah.
Like there's all these different ways about it. People would be like, ah, just like it never occurred to me to do that. I was like, I know. There was a bunch of stuff never occurred to me either. But
I heard like for the mimics, if they go into the mimic form of like whatever, you could glue them and they just stay that way. You could like walk over it. You could, you know, and it won't transform back. You know, whereas like if you glue the mimic where it's still in mimic form, it'll break out eventually.
That is interesting. I didn't know.
So yeah, if they're in like the their mimic form, you could like.
Boop. I never even once tried to mimic a mimic, which you can do.
Yeah.
I never even once tried to do that.
Is there an achievement for that?
There is an achievement for that. That's how I knew you could do it.
All right.
Was that you could mimic a mimic. I had no idea. And like I said, I told you guys in the chat that it was just by chance that I scanned myself when I did the little dash run thing.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And left a decoy of myself, and then you could scan that. I didn't know I could do that either, but you could totally do it.
Did you play as male or female?
I went male.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same here.
That's interesting that you, because you would have gotten a completely different dialogue, or not different dialogue, but a different voice actor for that.
Yeah.
I read a couple of things about people being spoiled on that, actually in the very early game. Somebody had like started the game as like a male Morgan, right? And then, because you get talked to by January.
Yes.
You don't know who January is, but he's getting talked to by January. Then he's like, I don't know, I want to restart and like take a look at something and do something a little different. So he restarts, creates a female Morgan Yu. And then when January calls him, it's a female.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know who January is.
Yep.
It's me.
Yeah.
Because
gotcha.
Before he learns who January is,
right.
He's like, oh, this is different. This is different. And I'm okay. I get it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. A very complex game, there's a lot going on. I don't think I want to play it again. I spent, 38 hours in it. I did pretty much everything I wanted to do. I have to say that last hour-ish, real pants.
Because, it changes the gameplay, where before you could take your time, you could explore. All that stuff. Once Dahl gets there, it's just run gun.
Yeah,
gun.
When I run saw, from one end of the station to the
to
other.
To the other, nothing but blasters. You know, from the engineers.
And
you can't hack them to make them stop. You know, like from the maker. You know, the little.
Oh no, you can't do that. No.
So I mean, it's just one of those things. Like you know, before it was like I was taking my time, I was exploring. Now it's just like okay, I just gotta just haul it.
Yeah. And by that point, I was moving so quickly, and I was so powerful. I didn't even fight anything.
Yeah.
I was just running to objective marker and then coming back and then going to the next one. And really, that last hour was
the
running from one load screen to another. And it's so disappointing.
When I was playing that part, I thought of the poor, poor saps who were playing on their console.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had it. Yeah.
I'm on an SSD, man. And that thing, the load times in between the spaces that I was going through was... I hated to have to do it so many times, but I kept thinking of the console players who had to put up with 30, 45 second loading screens where I'm looking at 10, 15 second loading screens.
Once in I between got the, the backpack secondary upgrade that adds the jump jets, you know, so to speak. Yeah, it made it so much easier just like, you know, just jumping and just like boosting yourself. Yeah. And, you know, you didn't have to worry about falling heights. Yeah, I was just, like, hopping off every little thing and just, like, zipping around.
But it effectively made the last, not act, but I guess the really just the last moments of the game very
different,
very tedious, unchallenging. And the worst thing is that once the Apex shows up, they really had an opportunity to do something dramatically different. It could have been an awful lot like... crawling through the body of the many in System Shock 2.
Yeah.
Did
you save the shuttle or did you blow it up?
I blew it up.
All right. I'm guessing you did, playing sort of like bad.
What shuttle?
The shuttle, it was an arbitrary,
secondary...
weird little secondary quest on the bridge.
Yeah.
Where there's a shuttle returning to Earth.
They don't know if it's infected or not.
They don't know if it's infected or not, and there's a bomb on board of it. on board it, and you can set off the bomb just to be extra sure that a potentially infected person doesn't make it back.
That's what that computer screen was upstairs on the bridge.
Yeah.
No, I guess I had missed the communication about that or anything, because I didn't know, because there were two options there, the landing and whatever.
Yeah.
And when I saw that it had the minute countdown, I was like, well, let me go ahead and finish this thing up before that thing hits zero. I don't know what that is, because it was not on any of my objectives that I saw.
I think
that
you
I
had
a,
maybe one of the audio logs.
I had listed all the audio logs, because I had that achievement.
I got that, and I'm like, ooh, and I was debating about it. I'm like, they don't know if I do so. And I don't remember at the end, I don't think they mentioned that well, they blew up the shuttle, you know. It just sort of glossed over that at the end. You'd think that would be something they would mention.
Yeah. The only tension I had about it was, you know, what am I not going to be able to do if I make the wrong choice here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, like, afterwards, when you're out, you could actually go to the shuttle.
But it does bring it the.
I think that's a.
Or is that a different shuttle?
That's a different shuttle. Okay. That's a different shuttle because I got to that shuttle much earlier.
I did go to that the shuttle that's surrounded in coral and stuff. I did go to that. I went to that shuttle that was just floating out there.
Because I was tracking down one of the guys, the pilot, Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, he's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna be out here. I got my sidearm and. You know, like, yep,
I enjoyed going out there because that was a good enough space. And I don't know where Lockwood was, how far out he was. But when I turned around and got a full shot of Talos 1, I was like, wow, that's a nice – the Bioshock callbacks, that flashbacks that it gave me from the Art Deco look of the whole thing on the outside was very like, that's – wow. And then seeing it once everything dissipated around it, once the alien race had gone away after I used the null wave device, and to see it all clean, pristine from a nice little shot, I thought I'd like to have that as a little tchotchke in my room sitting up there.
I saw a couple of things where some guys modeled it and 3D printed it.
Nice.
Oh wow.
Very nice.
It looked really good. Did you get out to the? Did you again? Not a quest. Not anything other than just a neat thing. Did you get out to the billboard?
The person out there?
And hack the billboard?
I didn't hack it.
I only thought about it way too late afterwards, because that was one of... When I got done with the game, and even last night, either going to bed or waking up this morning, I think, because I knew we were going to talk about it, I was thinking of all the different things to do. And I remember that exchange between those two guys saying, what's the best way if we needed to get help? He's like, well, I'd fly out there to one of those billboards and blast it, day. And I thought about that as the thing kept coming around. I was like, that's something I probably should have checked. But I didn't see a
hacking point for it.
Yeah, there was something. I didn't hack it. There were apparently two billboards. And I went to the
one's
wrong
in
one.
A movement rotation. Yeah. Because I tried. There had a person on it, and so my quest of track down all the people.
There was apparently a way to hack it and put up the message.
Huh.
Which was something about the escape pods have been disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So no one could escape.
The interesting thing that I think about this, when we talk about games that give you choice, normally you have a save point that you can hit and then go, I'll pick choice one. Oh, that was nice to see. Go load previous save. That was nice to see. You can't do that in this.
To some extent, a little bit. Because right out there at the end, you know, you could either choose between...
I didn't get that option.
But like between the null wave or the self-destruct. I saved right before that.
That still doesn't matter to what I get at the very end.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's
it's
still...
It's built too much on how you play.
Yeah, when you get your performance report, there's so many different things that need to be done.
I mean, you get that 5-second cutscene.
Yeah.
That's maybe slightly different, depending on what you do. You can actually legitimately take Alex's escape pod once you have achieved all your objectives.
Okay.
Basically, once you've done the self-destruct and you just have to get out, Alex's escape pod
The shuttle?
Yep. It's a valid option.
Okay. It probably didn't change anything?
Nope.
All right.
Nope. Did you have good old, what's his name on your shuttle? Walton Goggins?
No.
Did you have him?
The prisoner.
No, he died.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine was on the shuttle.
I'd saved him, but once I went back through that area and it got infected by the Typhon and the Apex. Yeah. It that they killed him.
Really? Hmm. I don't know why mine lived,
huh.
But he did. And he was on the shuttle at the end. I was surprised. I was sure he was dead, you know? I was like, eh, whatever.
I wonder if I
didn't kill you.
If I didn't go back to that area and, like, because, you know, it's in a circle.
If I
would have gone the other
that.
Direction instead of where he was at, if it wouldn't have killed him.
Well, I went back there once. There was directly across from where he was imprisoned was another room.
Because that's where he had to put the null transmitter for the null wave.
No. The null wave transmitter was in the central area.
But I think you had to get to it from there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And so I went, instead of taking a right, you know, I took the left where he was at, and then it got infected and everyone and he got killed.
Right. But I had gone back there because there was a side quest there. You couldn't get into one of those side rooms because there was an external breach. There was no atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
but you could go out there and seal it with the glue gun.
Which I did,
And then come back in and go there.
Yep.
I came back in, he was gone.
I had killed him, so it didn't matter.
Oh, right. Yeah, for me, he just wasn't around anymore.
He just shows up with the shuttle at the end.
He was on the shuttle. He was like, hey, partner. And I was like, whoa.
What are you doing here?
Okay. Why, sure. What do I care? Like, everybody come along. So
what do you think about the opening the door at the med bay?
Oh, I told you.
I didn't get that.
Got the jump scare. It was a jump scare.
No, you just open it. Roar, there's the body there. Like, oh.
Music sting and what, jump scare.
Yeah, I don't know.
Almost like when you turn the looking glass on that one time.
Yeah.
And the Typhon staring at you.
I really wish I'd been recording, man, because my reflexes were on point.
Yeah.
That thing showed up, and like a tenth of a second later, I blew out that screen. Like, that was my immediate reaction because I have my shotgun out.
Yeah.
And I felt like really like good. My panic reflexes are on point. Completely wasted because all I did was shoot a glass wall.
Yeah, when I do that to Kevin, you know.
Right. Suddenly you're the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. I alerted my position to so many enemies just from trying to use email and other monitors around there because F was your interaction, but you have a mouse, and so
So you kept shooting the monitors.
So I kept shooting monitors, banging on thing, and like bloop, then I'd see so many little radars pop up after a shotgun blast to a screen. Anyway, we've got to take a break, so that's our talk on Prey. We're going to come back and not have spoiler discussions. Spigot, if you're still in the chat room, and I don't know that you are, he talked about calling in, and I said, well, you know, give us a call at the last half. Now would be a good time to do that if you wanted to call in. So we'll come back with more in-game chat after this. Here's the music from Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, the main theme for you. So I don't know if it'll be familiar or not, but we'll be back with more in-game chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with Matt, RJ, and James. This is music from Friday the 13th, The Game.
You think there'd be more?
There might be.
Yeah.
This was posted last year. The video I pulled this from was from last year, because this game has been in early access and betas stuff for a very long time.
Maybe that would be used as a warning that Jason's close.
It is used as a warning.
I heard that if you don't have the music, if it's quiet, then you're in the good, but once you start hearing that and the music ramps up, you know he's around.
Okay, yeah.
That's exactly how that works. We've only got a few minutes left, but let's jump to the phones and talk to Brock, otherwise known as Spigot, who's in the chat room. We don't hear him too often, but hey, Brock.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right.
Pretty good. How's it going with you?
Not Shabby, not too shabby. Glad to see James on the show today.
Yeah, forsaken, I'm not working in a while.
Yeah, exactly. He'll he plans to join us for at least two of the episodes there, E3s. Bookending the E3s.
Oh, nice.
And it's going to be interesting because E3, some of the presentations are happening right before we go live.
Mm-hmm.
For our show, Microsoft or EA, I think, is doing their E3 presentation at 3 p.m. our time.
Oh, wow.
On Saturday the 10th, and so I think it's the 10th. But we'll have fresh discussion right then when we go live that day. So yeah, so it's great having him back, and we had all finished Prey, and so that was just one of the reasons to get him back on was to talk about that. So what have you played?
It's actually been mostly Zelda. So
yes.
I apologize to Matt from the last time I was on. I just started it, and I was kind of like, it's okay. And that's basically been all I've been playing.
Gets its hooks into you, doesn't it?
And it's been one of those games that I've not been in. You know, I've been so busy that it's the perfect kind of, I can do whatever I want. I don't have to pay much attention to a story. There's not a ton to juggle as far as stats and various other things. So it's nice just end of the day, climb a mountain, jump off it, and glide somewhere and see what happens.
Now, you took down your first Divine Beast, right?
Yes.
How'd you feel about that?
That was pretty nice. It was it was not terribly difficult, but it was the nice, interesting mix of puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
After you sort of do the initial takedown.
Yeah, when you get into it and you actually affect the environment.
Yeah. Almost Shadow of the Colossus-y.
Yeah, a little bit. I can see that.
A little bit of that. Not as much, but sort of like as far as the scale.
It was the elephant?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you ever play, I feel like it's not a recent release, or it is on console, but not on PC, but Rime, R-I-M-E?
No, I saw that. I saw that, but I haven't played it.
Because that gives off a very Ico-ish vibe.
Mm-hmm. I played to finish Last Guardian, so that's what I should probably get back to as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I went through What Remains of Edith Finch about a week or two ago, just that took about an evening, and it was pretty cool. And
I thought I saw you playing something else recently. And
Rakuen.
What was it?
Rakuen, I believe that's how you pronounce it. It's by the person who, Laura Shigehara, who did the music for To the Moon. She did some of the music for that, and she also did the Zombies on Your Lawn song. This is like her first game.
Oh.
So it's a sort of quasi JRPG-ish type thing, but it hits you right in the feels. So
to throw it back to Zelda real quick, I would suggest the next Divine Beast you take out would be the bird.
Yeah, okay, because I did get to that one first, but I didn't actually do the.
The power that you get from it is really helpful, and
okay.
It was I think that was the last one that I did when I was like, oh well, I kind of wish I had done that earlier.
Nice. I'll have to try that.
So it's just Zelda for you then, pretty much, huh?
Mostly, yeah. It's just been, then I want to play other things, but it's been just the one that's kind of hit that sweet spot of exactly what I've been in the mood for without taxing my brain too much. So
yeah.
Yeah, lots of fun.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you calling in, and always good to hear from you.
All right, well, have a great rest of the day.
You too.
Yeah.
Take care now. We'll talk to you later.
Guys.
Not too much left. Really, the Prey was going to be our big one. We got the Xbox One games for gold for next month. Speedrunners and Watch Dogs for Xbox One
first
users.
One?
Huh?
First Watch Dogs?
Yes.
Okay.
Xbox 360 gets Assassin's Creed 3. Funny, you should be back for this one, James. And Dragon Age Origins, both of those compatible with Xbox.
Video game.
With Xbox One. Looking over anything else to go over, we've got the Far Cry 5 announced.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
February.
Man, what a thing they chose to do there.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much fun to watch
and discuss.
Happen.
I know.
Yep.
I mean, I'll play it.
I
liked 4. I liked 3. I liked 2.
Blood Dragon.
I liked 1. I liked Blood Dragon. Haven't played Primal.
Never played Primal.
I get the feeling a lot of people say that. I didn't do Primal. It wasn't bad. I mean, it's what it is.
Sure.
But
sure. I just wasn't.
Yeah.
Wasn't in for it.
It's not the same.
No. I like the gunplay in Far Cry. like shooting guns at people.
Getting the special and guns the and stuff
I
like
mean,
that.
I get that the bow is still there, but...
Yeah.
Did you watch the video I sent you about the... it was from Eurogamer where they talked about Prey 2?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
And how that was
good. It made me feel all the much worse.
I know.
That we
know.
Didn't get about the space bounty hunting?
Not getting the real... that there actually was going to be a tie-in back to Tommy after all.
It was,
and,
yeah.
You know, that video that we saw E3 how many years ago with the Johnny Cash song.
Oh,
and,
sure. Yeah, the original know? Teaser trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, wow, that looks like fun.
I still think the idea was really great.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll surface in something else.
Unlikely.
Very unlikely.
The whole point of it was that it was tied into the complete destruction of humanity.
Yeah.
That... Earth was gone. Humanity was gone. It was totally absorbed by an uncaring alien race. And that a human was going to be... I mean, it was like Titan A.E.
Yeah.
You know? Earth is gone. Humanity is gone. What few humans remain are this incredible galactic minority... who is disregarded and disliked by almost everyone. I liked that.
And at this point, at this point, now that you've got a game out, Prey, having a Prey 2 would be all that more confusing as to which one you're talking about if they were going to go back to that.
You know, I'm hoping they take that basis idea and just redo.
I mean, it's a good idea, but they'd still have to establish what it really was, and it took Prey to establish that.
Yeah.
And then if their whole thing was tying back into Tommy and kind of the mystical... stuff maybe was a little bit present, but then there was some clone business, and it was sounded all fantastic. Sad,
we'll never get.
Yep.
Yeah. So we don't have much time left. Remember, Vanquish is out there. I don't know if anybody's played that
yet.
But
I heard there's been some issues with the PC port. Yeah, the glitch.
Basically,
you mean the hidden hard mode?
Yeah, it's just a hidden hard mode, really. the higher frame rate you have, the more damage you take.
Yeah,
that's it. So we've got music from Vanquish coming up next. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. James, thanks for coming back for an episode. In the chat room, thanks for everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. Thanks, everybody, who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show later. We really appreciate that. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're on Steam, we got a Steam group there you can join with us. We've got a community on Xbox One. We've got a community on PlayStation 4. We're all over the place. We've even got a Discord. Don't know how to get to that, but there's a Discord out there for us, I guess.
Yeah, we can,
I've given you the code.
I know, but I haven't used it. I haven't used it.
So
there's all that. We'll have a clan for Destiny 2, I imagine. So thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We will see you next Saturday. Here is music from Vanquish.